Why is my mind going to bad shots?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of bad shots. I've seen a lot of good shots too.
It's usually against you though, so I don't really like have
Yeah,
it
you're
stick.
like, wow, that chip was the cat's pajamas right there.
I mean, is it psycho or is it just great planning?
I'm like, why are we out here? Because they love the game.
No.
I do not want to hit a little white golf all around.
Welcome to another episode of Henny and Hallie Can't Quit Golf. I'm Hallie Ledbetter.
And I'm Henny Koyak.
All right, Henny, before we get into it, because we have the absolute best podcast guest ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get to that, we have a well, no, you told me that you had some news that you wanted to share. So tell me, what is going on? What's the hot goss?
The hot goss is, can't believe this happened. After 5 years, I joined a golf club yesterday.
Oh, fancy.
Which
Ooh.
goes in line with the title of this podcast, Henny Cannot Quit Golf, apparently.
Honey, can't. This is incredible. Are you going to be the lady captain?
I going to be the lady captain.
That's so exciting, honey.
As generally embarrassing, like if you're with me, you'll probably be embarrassed at some point. That level of embarrassment rapidly increases when I get into places that need some decorum, like an office or a golf club. So can't see me being lady captain of anything ever, unless it was a golf course that condoned hoodies, sweatpants, music, and general nonsense, shenanigans.
Well, one day. Well, one day. So wait, so what sparked this action and how often do you see yourself trotting over to the course?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a person to do anything halfway. So I went for the full 7-day membership, like all in. I know when I was talking to the membership person with my husband Ben there, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be playing. Like, she's like, you know, it's not really worth it. Be a 5-day member if you're going to play, unless you're going to play 2 to 3 times a week. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to play 2 to 3 times a week. And he was like, wait, what? Who? What? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, huh? Like, we hadn't had this conversation at all. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I was in the studio in Sky. I watched the LPGA for 4 days, the PGA Tour for 4 days, the APGA for 1 day. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the exposure to golf clubs and ball and like they have an indoor shot center. It just happened really suddenly because by Sunday, like I sat in my chair pretty much for the whole 8 hours. And then by Sunday, I was like swinging. I was grabbing a club and swinging. And then Monday morning, I went straight to the golf club. And then Tuesday, I was signed up. The unfortunate thing is, like right now, I don't have any golf clubs because they're still in my shipping container coming over from the US. So I maybe should have thought it through better. Another thing to know about me is I'm very impulsive. Like I'll just make a big decision and just go for it. But I don't regret it.
No, you join the golf club. You don't have golf clubs, but you're a
No.
member now. But that's fine.
Yeah.
You'll be ready to go. You'll be even more raring to go once the clubs get here. So
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
very exciting. I'm
Exactly.
very thrilled for you. That's
Thank you.
so
That's big. That's
great.
big steps from someone who was a self-professed golf hater up until Sunday.
Up until Sunday, man, this is so exciting. And now we can play in the what's the competition we were going to play in England together?
The Sunningdale foursomes.
The Sunningdale foursomes. Yes. Well, what's the return policy on the membership?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like a country club type thing. So worst case, I'll just take up like tennis or something.
You go.
That makes me feel old though, man. Like next thing you know, I'll be announcing that I'm playing in the Bridge Club.
Oh, bridge. My granny loved bridge.
Exactly.
Point exact. Yeah, pretty.
Have you played an amateur competition with your amateur status?
I have. Well, no, I haven't. I will, I guess today might actually be my first one.
Ooh.
today I am playing in the celebrity par three contest at the Hay at Pebble Beach. So
stop it.
It's a 5-hole par three contest, 4-person scramble, two teams. So money on the line for charity. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. This will be my, yeah, I guess this will be my first amateur competition.
What a debut for the amateur.
I know.
So, who are you playing with? Who's on your team?
You know, that's a great question. Apparently we pick teams when we get there. And so I don't know. I hope I don't get picked last. It makes me sad.
I'm sure you.
I swear my wedge game is pretty good.
I would pick you. I feel like you're a secret ringer. And you, my friend, have some sneaky news that you're entering the broadcast world.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. Very excited. I'm going to be calling some golf for PGA Tour Live. So if you hear this voice on ESPN Plus, it is me. So very excited. You know, definitely something different. And looking forward to it. So very excited that they're, you know, getting the opportunity and get to call some golf. So
yeah, I'm gonna be listening closely. I love it.
Okay, great. I've been looking up my synonyms, you know, for like shots instead of saying just like, oh, that was a good shot, you know.
Yeah,
okay. Well, what do I, you know, what should, you know, smashing drive, or, you know, Stina, who, you know, we both know, our boss suggested that I work in stupendous, which I think is a nice one. So, yeah.
Taking, applications for a word, a random word to fit into the broadcast.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Every rookie's, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Obligation, their duty. I had to do that as a rookie. I think you need to do that as a rookie. And so it's up to our listeners. What work should Hallie work into her first ever broadcast?
Hanny, speaking of our listeners, I know we're doing a new segment where you and I, or you tweeted an Instagram storied asking for some questions. So we're going to keep doing this over, you know, the next few weeks, but what do you got for us? What kind of questions do we have?
Okay, so thank you everyone who sent in your questions. Okay, here we go. This one is from Rob Easton on Twitter. Why do both the men and women golfers not really wave to the crowds when they win a tournament? In other sports, the players go nuts with their fans. The golfers do in Ryder Cups, but I find it sad they don't embrace the crowds more in tour events. I couldn't agree more. It really pisses me off. Like at the weekend, okay, Luke Liss maybe had a good celebration. He seemed passionate about it. But I miss the like fist pump days. Show me what it means. I get that you have to keep everything under wraps during the course of the round. And actually that doesn't bother me. But like when that putt goes in, you have to celebrate.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would like a little bit more emotion for sure. I don't need just like the slow-mo wave to the crowd, thanks so much. Like, yeah, I also would love some passion, maybe some dancing or something, you know. I think that'd be great. And, you know, like a touchdown celebration.
This is from Nick on Twitter. Do you like lettuce?
I do like lettuce. I would. I like fresh, crisp lettuce. But the other day, I had the opportunity to shoot with Connor Moore, which was so much fun. That guy is so hilarious. And people that he has around him are incredible. The funniest people I've ever met. And we did this scene where we were like sitting outside on a patio. We were pretending that we had just finished a round. This was some sort of barbecue or whatnot, right? So we all had like food on our plates that had been sitting there. And so it was just like this old lettuce that I had to, like, we were all like just stabbing with our forks because we were pretending to eat. And so when I saw that tweet, do you like lettuce, in my head I was like, no, not right now, because the last experience that I had with lettuce was staring at this like old lettuce that I had just been stabbing with my fork for 20 minutes. So I like fresh, crisp lettuce, not old lettuce. What about you, Henny? What is your take on lettuce?
I like lettuce, but I am very specific with lettuce for certain scenarios. For example, I don't want iceberg in my sandwich. I want what a little bit want? Of lamb's. I want a little bit of lamb's lettuce. Like this morning, today for lunch, I had halloumi, chicken, mayo, and a little smattering of lamb's lettuce. Like it's just delicate.
It's lamb's lettuce.
It's like the little teeny weeny leaves. Or on a pizza, I would have a little smattering of rocket.
Rocket.
Lovely. Yeah. Oh, wait, what do you call it? Arugula?
Oh, I've called it rocket. Is it called arugula over here? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, in America, it's arugula. And yeah, if I have like a Greek salad, that's when I might want something a little bit more crunchy, a little bit more meaty. If I have like a beetroot salad, that's when I might want something a little bit softer, maybe some spinach. So I need the right salad for the right meal.
Okay. All right. Wow. That was a great answer.
So let's put a pin in that. And thank you everyone who sent in their questions. Sorry if we didn't manage to get around to everyone, but we, as Hallie said, we will be doing this week in, week out. So do send in your questions next time round. Speaking of food and food ease, I don't know if it's like a golf thing that just golfers tend to love food. But our next guest is someone who you can have an epic foodie chat with. I feel like we just go off piste all the time talking about food with the second best player in the world right now. ladies and gents, we have none other than Colin Morikawa joining us. All right, we are super excited to be joined on this week's pod by the lovely Colin Morikawa. Colin, it's such a pleasure to have you. I feel like as far as interviews and conversations in golf go, you are right up there with the very best. You're just so easy to talk to. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the kind words and let's have some fun.
We were just talking life stuff. You've got a lot going on with moving. Obviously I've just moved as well, so we're just in this moving box together, but you haven't moved that far.
No, we moved really close. We found a nice house. I mean, we've been looking for 7 months, obviously just really tough times to find houses, but you know, I live out of a suitcase anyway. Like it sucks because I like unpacking and I like actually having everything sitting on a counter, sitting in certain places. But now I'm just living out of boxes. So this should be fun for the next, you know, who knows how long.
Colin, I gotta ask, when it comes to packing, are you like a packing cubes guy? Are you like a Marie Kondo folder? Like what is your packing strategy for someone that literally lives on the road? We gotta know.
I'm so good at packing. I'm not even gonna like put that lightly. I'm so good at it. I pack, so I think I've maxed out at like 2.5 weeks of actual having golf clothes, regular clothes, everything else. But I just like fold it as neatly as possible, put it in. I don't roll anything. I don't do anything else. I just like kind of compress it in and it works. I mean, I've got a suitcase that kind of fits it all and I know how everything needs to be placed. And if it's not there, it's not fitting.
Under 50 pounds always, never over?
Definitely not under 50 pounds. So I hit that. I get to the 70 pound limit. It's normally around like 55, 60 pounds.
Okay. Well, that's still pretty good for 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got golf clothes. Like, I mean, I don't like doing laundry a ton on the road. So like I'm packing every single pair of golf clothes I can. I mean, I'm packing everything.
Okay. That's fair.
And you were just in the Middle East. How was that?
I was. You know, it was a good way to start the year. I've been there the past year. I mean, this is my fourth time in Dubai over the past 14 months. And obviously I have good memories and, you know, it wasn't the best 2 weeks for my golf game. But it kind of woke me up. You know, I had COVID through Christmas, which kind of sucked, you know, showed up to Kapalua not really knowing how I was going to play. And the past 2 weeks kind of just woke me up and just telling me what I need to get ready for the rest of the season. I mean, once kind of LA and Riviera start for me, it doesn't stop. And obviously you want to have your game ready for the rest of the season.
Yeah. You're a food guy, right? You like your food.
Love it.
Let's talk about Eastern food because I have a miniature obsession with it. Like, have you tried a chicken shawarma?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
Those things, Hallie, have you tried one?
Wait, no, I don't. What chicken shawarma?
Yeah.
Where are you getting these? Where are they?
Okay, so any Middle Eastern restaurant, if you haven't tried one and you're listening, you have to. It's like this insane marinated chicken in a wrapper on a plate with this garlic sauce. And
the garlic sauce is amazing.
It's just the bomb. It's not like any other garlic. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a garlic mayo sauce.
Howie, when you're in LA, there's this place called Zanku Chicken.
Zanku Chicken.
Z-A-N-K-O-U. Amazing.
Okay.
I know the garlic sauce is to die for.
Ooh, yeah.
It's amazing. Great.
But the clincher for me is that they put fries in the wrap, which sounds really heavy, but it's not because they have like little salad-y stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
Fries on things like as a top, like you didn't, Colin, obviously from Cal, like they have this, they put like California burrito, they put love the fries. You like the fries in the burrito?
It's so good. It's so, I think now the like a California burrito, you want to like take a 10-hour nap after you eat that. Like if you eat a chicken shawarma wrap, like you're going to be okay. But I love it. I love the California burrito.
I one time had a hamburger that they put peanut butter on, and that's what I kind of like in fries in a burrito. I'm like, this is, I mean, I like them separately, but like, what is this doing on here?
Like in England, we have, you'll know this, we have a sandwich called a chip butty, which is literally has to be the most basic, horrible white bread you can find, which is the best. White bread with lashings of butter and then chips in the, or fries in the middle. And then another layer of said nasty white bread on top, and it just all like chuck some ketchup on there, we'll smush it down together, and just
that can't be a real sandwich.
It is
a French fried sandwich.
Yeah,
so when you're over for the open, you have to try one. It's a Scottish specialty.
I don't know about that. I really don't.
Come
know.
On, just do it on a Monday. It will set you up for greatness for the week. I promise.
You know, you got, well, you guys like your fries or chips like really potatoy, don't you? Like really thicker. Thick.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I like thinner, crispy, the less potatoy fries.
Like an In-N-Out fry, or like even thinner.
Like a McDonald's fry.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with In-N-Out fries. I like them. People say they hate them, but I don't mind them.
I think McDonald's fries are undefeated, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. All right. Should we maybe talk about golf? I don't know, but
not important.
Yeah. Anyways, Henny and Hallie can't quit talking about French fries. That will change the podcast name.
That's actually more truthful.
That's true. We do talk a lot about food. Colin, so this podcast obviously called Henny and Hallie Can't Quit Golf, because we are hopelessly devoted to this game in one way or another. What is your relationship with golf, if you had to sum it up?
You know, just, it's my life. And I wouldn't say, you know, it defines me, and that's what I've realized over the past 2 years. But growing up, you know, the dream was always to get to number one in the world, win majors, play against Tiger Woods. I mean, I remember like putting late at night as a kid, or putting in the afternoon after school. And like, I just thought about playing against Tiger. Like that was the one thing I wanted to do. And, you know, obviously I had the opportunity to play against him and compete. And I'm really thankful for that. So, you know, golf is, it does revolve around everything I do. I think people know me for playing golf, and hopefully down the road, that's not all I'm known about. But, you know, being 24, almost 25, like that's really my life.
Don't say that. That makes me feel old. Why do you have to end this? Such a good answer. Why do you have to end with that? That actually brings me on to, I've seen a lot about you and Victor Hovland lately. There's been on socials these really cool graphics that you guys were in college just literally, what, 2-3 years ago, and now what, number 2 and 3 in the world. And that's such an incredible rise for you. Is that sort of expected, or are you still on the side of like, hey, you know, that's pretty cool that I've accomplished that in such a short space of time?
Yeah, you know, when I turned pro, like, obviously I believed I could do it, and a lot of things have to go right. You have to play really well, and you know, I believed I could fully do it and get to number 2, number 1 in the world, hopefully. But to see both Victor and I get to 2 and 3 in the world in really 2.5 years, almost 3 years, like that's, I think, not expected. And, you know, I didn't expect anything from Matt. I didn't expect anything from Victor. I knew they're great friends, great players, and who knows how it could have kind of rolled out, you know, over the past 3 years. But to see the two of us actually be here, I mean, I don't know how many people really expected that.
Yeah. And going to college at Berkeley, I mean, you guys all went to college. Was that always the route for you? Because you're sitting here talking to Henny, who, I mean, she was a phenom. She wasn't going to go to school. She was going to get right out there. Me, there's no way in hell that I wasn't going to college. So where was your mind at?
Yeah, I don't think there was any way I was going to skip college. One, my parents probably would have never let me. And two, like, I think that was all part of just growing up, like going to college for me, at least. And like, I wouldn't trade the 4 years in for anything. Like I would not trade it in for turning pro early. I still talk to a bunch of guys on the team nearly every day. I mean, a few of them are really my best friends. And that's the coolest thing is that like, you do create memories, you do hang out. And that's the one thing I miss the most about college is that you just have a team there for you or friends there. Like, any part of the day, like if you're not, like you're never by yourself. And I think that's the coolest thing is that, you know, now, yes, you know, I'm with Kat and we've got our dog and, you know, it's different, but hanging out with the boys is fun, is pretty fun too. So that was kind of always the plan. You know, I thought about turning pro a little early, but, you know, going to business school, I knew, you know, I had that opportunity. I wanted to take it. Golf, you know, as it was back then, was not going away. I didn't know COVID was going to be a thing. No one did. And, you know, yeah, I definitely don't regret anything.
You seem to be a very positive person in general. And obviously your relationship with golf has gone so well throughout the end of your amateur career, college, and now turning professional. But have you ever had any rough times with golf where you've questioned whether you really want to do it?
Not really. And I think that's a good thing. You know what?
Yeah.
People go through a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And for me, like even when I'm not playing well, or if you have a bad stretch or whatever it may be, right? I still have that passion for wanting to get better, like wanting to beat everyone. And I think that's the biggest thing when, you know, comparing that to college, like every day you wake up, you go to school, whatever, you have practice. And like, all you care about is beating everyone on your team. Like if it's just one person, you're betting against them, you're doing something, you're like, you're having a match. Like that's all you care about. And I think we get so caught up in like when you turn professional about, you know, the rankings and where you are in the standings and that you forget about that drive to just want to compete. And I haven't had to remind myself about that because that's just who I am. Like I want to compete. I want to beat everyone. So thankfully, you know, I haven't gone down that path, but you know, sometimes it happens and you see a lot of guys out there that, you know, all they're trying to do is make a cut and maybe that's going to create that spark and you have to find that spark, you know, I think inside yourself. And for me, it's just wanting to beat everyone. So thankfully, you know, it's been a fairly smooth transition, obviously through junior golf, amateur and college into professional golf now. And hopefully it just keeps going.
Yeah, definitely a seamless rise to the top. Speaking of college golf and team golf, I wanted to ask you about your Ryder Cup experience because obviously you don't get a chance to play on a team much anymore. And I'm sure, you know, Ryder Cup's a lot different than college golf, but what was that experience like?
It was amazing. And we had, obviously we had a really young team, a lot of rookies, but no one was really treated like a rookie because I think we had so many, but it was the coolest thing because you actually get to know these guys. And you know, I knew a few of them pretty well, but still being a couple years in, like I haven't had as many experiences with these guys. You don't see them as much. And to really hang out with these guys, have dinner, talk to them, talk to their wives, talk to their girlfriends, whatever. It was amazing because you really get to see the people they are. They really care. Like, and all we cared about was winning. Like that was the biggest overarching goal for the week is that everyone was so focused that, you know, it was just so much fun. I mean, team events like that are by far the best things you could ask for.
I remember watching you guys celebrate on 18 at the end. There was a lot of champagne. We had to stand pretty far back. It was spraying everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, I don't recommend drinking those bottles of Moët champagne. They're way too much. And yeah.
I feel like, though, as a captain, I mean, Strix is just one of the nicest guys on tour. You almost want him to be your dad. He's just seems like such a supportive, good guy. How much do you feel like that contributed, just having him be the captain for that unique team, to your experience?
Yeah, it helps a lot, because especially as someone so young, and a lot of the rookies, right, we talk about the young guys being comfortable in that position is hard. And you have to have someone there to, like, kind of just not de-stress you and not, you know, be there right by your side and, like, rub your back, but just be like being able to trust him. And that's the biggest thing, is that from day one, we were able to trust him. And I hope, you know, I owe him a little tidbit of my PGA championship. That's the first time I ever met him. I played a practice round with him and Davis Love, I think on Tuesday. And obviously I ended up winning the PGA. This was in Harding Park in 2020. And, you know, from that day on, I've trusted Steve Stricker, because obviously he helped me win a major championship.
Yeah. That's a pretty solid reason. I trust.
Right?
I think that's honestly something so special about golf, because you think about tennis or really any other sport, in tennis, if Nadal is playing some kid that looks up to him, yeah, he's dreamed about playing him his whole life. It's not like he's can go to the net and be like, hey, like, you have any advice for me? Cause he's like, no, I'm trying to literally kill you right now. Like, whereas yeah. Like, you know, for you, if you're playing with someone during a practice round or even a round, you have that time in between shots where you could, you know, pick someone's brain if they're open for it. What would you say is like, or maybe, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of great advice over the last few years, but what's some really memorable advice that you've gotten from somebody that's like a veteran out there?
The best advice I've ever gotten since I've turned pro is from Justin Thomas. First week as a pro, we were in RBC Canadian Open. We sat down, we had dinner, him, myself, and our agent. And he just told me that, look, if you are able to get here, get these sponsor exemptions, you're definitely good enough to be on the PGA Tour. I don't know when. I can't tell you tomorrow you're going to be there. I can't tell you in 5 years. I can't tell you in 10 years, but everyone's going to have a different path. And if you just believe in that and believe in your path and believe that you can do it, you're going to make it and you're going to be good enough. And I think that really stuck with me, and just knowing that, like, you know, all of us, when you come out every single year, there's kids coming out, you know, who's going to be this next Tiger, who's going to be whatever, right? Who's going to be this next kid coming out and the star player. Everyone has a different path, and you can't like get focused on, especially what Victor, Matt, and myself have done over the past 3 years. You can't just be like, I want to go do this. And if I don't, you know, I'm not good enough. And that really stuck with me. And I owe him a lot for telling me that, because it meant a lot. You know, I was just another kid turning up as a pro. And, you know, I'm sure he's seen that every year, and every pro has seen that every single year, new kids turning pro. And yeah, that was probably the best advice. But I think golf wise, those team events, you get so much knowledge about the game of golf that, you know, you could never even think of and never figure out yourself. It's really the best stuff you can learn.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you have to someone coming up through the game?
In what, turning pro or just getting into the game?
I'd say let's go for someone who's a teenager, looks up to you, mm-hmm. wants to sort of follow in your footsteps, is in love with the game and wants to turn professional.
Yeah. I think just get better and focus on like certain aspects of your game. I think a lot of kids get caught up in probably looking at like my childhood scores or my junior scores, and then they try and compare themselves to me, or they try and compare themselves to Tiger or Jordan or JT or whoever it is, right? Someone that you can look up their junior scores in the past 10, 15 years. And they're like, okay, I'm doing the same thing as him. Like, I should be just as good. That's not the case. Like, scores really don't matter. For us, handicaps don't matter. Don't come up to me and tell me you're a +2 or you're a 3 handicap. Like, show me what you're good at and show me what you're not good at and just improve. Like, that's the biggest thing. I think, you know, as a kid, I knew what I was good at. I knew what I had to work on, and I still know what I have to work on. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that we get caught up so much in scores about, oh yeah, you know, I can shoot 2 over, but if you shoot 2 over or you shoot 2 under at your home course every single day, it's not really going to matter. And even if you don't have the opportunity to go and travel to tournaments and play everywhere around the country, like, just make sure you're getting better in every aspect of your game. Like, forget about the score, because at the end of the day, if you are getting better at you know, every little aspect, the scores will kind of show up at some point.
That's great. Now let's veer off of golf again, because we've been talking about golf for ages now, and you know, that's just not our stuff. You got engaged recently. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We will ask the same thing to you that we asked Brooks. Were you nervous?
Yeah, I've never been that nervous in my life, ever. I did it in
the
Bahamas.
That's what he said too.
Yeah. No, it's, and I'm serious. We were in the Bahamas, and that morning I went to go practice for like 2 hours. I left at 7 a.m. They gave us carts and they roped it off, and we can drive in the fairway at a certain point. And I almost drove into the rope, and my caddy looked at me. He's like, "We're done. we're going to pack it in. Like, you're going to just hit a couple shots. We're going to finish the round. You're going to go, you know, have a great day." But yeah, I've never been that nervous in my life.
did you know like what you were going to say, and did you execute it? Because like my husband said that he practiced his head over and over again what he was going to say, had a list of things not to say that he'd scrapped from his speech, and only said the things that he meant not to say to me.
That's great. No, I do better like when I'm kind of just ad-libbing and just like throwing it in. So I knew like kind of what to do, but I was more practicing like how to get down on one knee. Like, that's what I was kind of more worried about. Like, what if I like accidentally trip or like fall in the sand or somehow get on two knees? And I mean, yeah, like a lot of like bad scenarios. There's more of the scenarios that were rolling through my head. I think the talking, we were going to be fine.
Are you naturally clumsy?
No, but I mean, when you're that nervous, you really don't know what your body's going to do. I mean, you literally could have done anything for all I know. I mean, trust me, it is the most nerve-wracking thing in the world.
And your dog is called Koa, or is that your rescue
Koa.
Dog?
Yep. No, Koa.
Your present dog. What a memory, by the way. Can we just...
Really good.
That's great.
I have not researched that or read that since our last conversation. And I forget like what I had for lunch yesterday. But dogs, I have a special dog memory, apparently.
That was a great follow on Instagram, by the way.
You should. Koa.the.doodle.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm following Koa now.
Yeah.
Is Koa going to be involved in the wedding?
Of course. I mean, Kat's already practicing, like, trying to put things on his head so he doesn't move, trying to do other things. He needs a little more training, but I think he'll do just fine.
I love it. I love that early dedication to the training for his ceremony.
Oh, for sure. Oh, once we got him, like, we knew he was going to be part of the wedding. There's no way he wouldn't. He's just so small and he's so kind of cute that, like, hopefully he doesn't get distracted, because a lot of people, I'm sure, will be, like, looking at him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Colin, thank you so much for joining us. Always, always enjoy talking to you. And I'm sure we'll see you down the road here soon.
Thank you both. Can't wait for the white bread and fries sandwich.
Chip buddy all around. There we go.
If you go into a pub and order, or any restaurant, order a chip butty, I think that the whole of Scotland, the UK, Scotland are going to be very, very proud of you.
I'll do the shawarma, right. Not the buddy. How about that?
Yeah, okay. The shawarma is a very safe option.
Shawarma and butty. Done.
Thanks, Colin.
All right. Thank you both.
Bye, guys. See you.
All right. Have a good day.
Chip buddies, Henny? I don't know.
It's so good. It's one of those things that's so bad, but it's so good.
I swear, we could have just done the entire interview about food and then not talked about golf at all. I was like, maybe we should get to our questions, or we could just keep talking about French fries.
Yeah, but that's the thing about Colin, is that I feel like if anyone out there listening wants to know what golfer is the best to just go to dinner with, go have a drink with, I would put Colin head and shoulders above everyone else, because you can just chat with him about anything and everything, and he's just so down to earth, and you just go off piste. And I've said this, I hope he doesn't find this weird to say, but I've said this from day one when he came out on tour, is that he is the kind of person you would say, I would love for him to be my son. Like, I would love it if my child turned out like Colin.
That's a wonderful compliment, for sure. That's awesome.
as well as obviously being an insane golfer. I think it's funny almost listening to him talk about golf, because I think things that come really naturally to him, maybe he doesn't appreciate that that's really unique. In fact, like hearing him talk about being, you know, how he approaches golf in just wanting to beat people in college and how he continues that, like, that's really unique view on it. And it's interesting that he mentioned Justin Thomas, because that's really like Justin Thomas. He's just super competitive, just wants to be out there having fun, beating someone. And it's almost a little chicken and egg situation, because I think some people listening will be like, oh yeah, he can think that way because he's Colin. Right. But I think he is Colin because he thinks that way.
Right. Another thing I thought that was interesting he said was the advice that Justin Thomas gave him, was that, like, you know, be on your own path, don't rush it. And I'm wondering if having that mindset that, like, hey, when I get there, I get there, I'm just going to go out there and free it up. And like he said, on his just so his sort of view on getting better in general is just, you know, work on the parts of your game and your score will come. And he's had, like I said, the most seamless rise to the top really that you could possibly have. And maybe having that attitude of patience, it's almost like, you know, it, when you are patient and you know that you have time, you kind of can free it up and play. Whereas if you tried to force it and think, I need to have a career like Colin Morikawa, like, you know, then you might push it and get, you know, tense and feel like you're in a hurry when you're not, you know? So,
yeah, I sort of read what he was saying as, be yourself, know your game and yourself inside out, and work hard on the parts that aren't perhaps so great or need improving.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I love Colin. Like you said, he's the nicest and someone that you'd want to, you know, go grab dinner or grab a beer with. Big Colin fan, for sure.
And I feel like him being a foodie, you know you're going to go to a good restaurant.
Oh, yeah. What did you say? Zacko's chicken or something? No, I got to go there. Next time I'm home, I'm going
to
check it out.
You need to try chicken shawarma. When I used to go and practice in the Middle East for like 3-4 months at a time when I was on tour, and we would have shawarma Wednesdays where we would just go and eat as much shawarma as we could at shawarma restaurants.
Why shawarma Wednesdays? Why not like shawarma Saturdays? Or because you have
Tuesdays. So I feel like it was something to look forward to midweek.
So nothing to do with like the alliteration. You weren't really going for that. It was more so just the middle of the week, hump day.
I'm working out. So, you know, Monday through Friday, midweek seems like a solid thing to look forward to and just like load up on the protein and fries and garlic. And then just continue that. And if a shawarma happened to pop up at the weekend as well, so be it.
Okay. So you wouldn't be opposed to shawarma Saturdays. It would just be an addition to shawarma Wednesday.
Exactly. I'd say we bring it back.
Okay. I'm down.
I'll find a shawarma restaurant here. You go to Zacko's chicken.
And then we'll FaceTime and eat our shawarmas together.
Yeah. Mine can be dinner. Yours can be like early lunch.
Brunch.
With the time difference.
Brunch. They're like, I'm going to show up at 10:30. They're like, man, we're not open. And I'm like, I have a shawarma date. Okay. Give me the shawarma.
All right. So we have our shawarma date. You need to try a chip butty next time you come to England as well. I don't think you're out of that.
Fine. I'll do it.
And a couple of Dave, that's, you know, I need to have a word with him about that. Hasn't had you try a chip butty yet. It's disappointing.
You know, I like bacon baps, but I don't know about chip buddies.
It's a whole new level.
These names are ridiculous. Bacon baps and chip butties.
Don't forget we got
pie, sausage roll.
Spotted dick pudding.
Spotted dick. Okay. And on that note,
let's end it there. Thank you guys for listening to episode of Penny and Hallie Can't Quit Golf or Fries. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks' time.